The story of Elias J. Baldwin, better known to the world as Lucky Baldwin. He was born in Hamilton, Ohio, in the same year that Andrew Jackson was elected president, 1828. And if Jackson's election indicated a new spirit in the development of America, that spirit was incarnate in Lucky Baldwin. Three generations of American pioneers molded by hard frontier life gave young Baldwin self-reliance, courage, and the optimism that never admits defeat. One day, the elder Baldwin, recognizing the shrewd trading instinct of his son, made a bargain with him. Lucky took to the road with a load of hogs, while his elder brother, Wash, followed with the farm wagon. We find the two brothers camped in a pasturage on the outskirts of town, tired and dusty. This is life, Wash. The biggest thrill I've ever had.
Ah, you and your hogs. What are you going to get out of this drive but a lot of hard work? Those animals, after so long on the road, won't average more than 150 pounds, the packing house. And the bargain you made with Pa was that you could keep the dollar a pound you'd get on anything over 160 pounds. According to that, you'll be owing Pa $10 a hog when you get back home.
You're playing crazy, Wash. Those hogs are going to make me enough money to buy me a horse.
A horse? And you call me crazy? What do you want with a horse?
I want to raise him. Plenty of money to be made in raising.
Talk cheap. You still ain't told me just how you ain't to make money off of these hogs.
Well, I got it all figured out, boy. Now, first off, I'm going to see that my hogs get the best pasture. And I can do this by tending to my drove first when we stop the camp at night and tending to my own wants last.
Feed them all you want to at night, but they run most of it off next day.
Well, now, I figured that, too. When the drove stops in Indianapolis for a rest, Tom Libby, our drove captain, is going into town for supplies. Well, I'm going with him to buy me a bag of salt.
Bag of salt? What for?
To give to my hogs before they reach the last watering place before weighing in at the stockyard.
You mean your hogs will eat the salt?
Sure, and get so all fired thirsty that they'll drink a lot of extra pounds on them in time for weighing in. They'll average a heap more than 160 pounds apiece, all right.
Well, doggone.
Lucky Baldwin followed his plan to the letter, made a nice profit for himself, and bought his horse, but sold him for a profit instead of racing him. Soon he was recognized as an expert in horseflesh and a trader whose shrewdness belied his youth. From then on, his luck, which made him an almost legendary figure, began to manifest itself. Everything he touched, farming, horse trading and racing, threshing and canal freighting, prospered. Time passed, and tales of the gold discoveries in California came to him, and he decided to go there with his wife, Sarah, his five-year-old daughter, Clara, scores of horses, and four wagons loaded with miscellaneous goods for trade. One night around the campfire in the desert west of Salt Lake City, the horses showed signs of nervousness.
Horses are mighty uneasy, Baldwin.
I never knew one to be wrong yet, Shaw. Trouble in the wind, Summers.
Now stop that singing, boys. I want to listen to something.
Elias. Do you think it's Indian?
Oh, I don't think so, Sarah. Brigham Young's own brother told us to take this trail. He said it was the safest.
Yeah, and somehow I mistrust that advice.
Why? The Mormons are our friends. They bought my goods. We ate at their table.
I know all that, Mr. Baldwin. But from your trading, you got a heap of their money. Hold on. Looks like we got a visitor.
It's an Indian.
In a plug hat. Nothing to fear from him.
Now, don't forget, this is Ute country, Mr. Baldwin. And this here engine's a Ute. They're tricky. Let's see what he wants.
Oh! Oh! Oh!
What's he mean?
Don't know much English. He picked that up from the bullwhackers, I reckon.
Look, he's waving a piece of dirty paper.
Eat.
He's hungry. Should we feed him?
Wait till we see what the paper says. Give it here, engine.
Well, what does it say? It
says this is a no-good engine. He won't fight or work. But watch him or he'll steal your shirt.
Not a very good recommendation. Say, you, Indian, where'd you get this?
I don't like the way he's sizing things up while he's talking to us, Mr. Baldwin. Them eyes of his and ain't missed a thing.
You reckon all this note business is just an excuse for him to fire us?
Well, liable to be.
Well, I'll fix him.
You saved your bullets, Mr. Baldwin. You'll have plenty of time to use them in a little while.
Indian attack?
You bet. He was a spy, all right. Lucky we camped with our wagons in the circle. That'll save time.
Elias, what'll we do?
Just you and Claire stay in our wagons there, and don't worry. By Chad, I'm not licked yet.
It'll take more than a bunch of best Indians to do it. But they're coming. Let them come. I'll show to you and everybody on the Overland Trail all the way to California that Elias J. Baldwin has come to say, come on now.
The Indians were driven off, and the Baldwin party proceeded to California. After looking over several towns, Lucky Baldwin finally settled in San Francisco in 1853, buying a hotel there. Then the rush began to the Comstock Lode discovery in Nevada in 1859. Lucky watched and waited, saw the Comstock boom, then saw the bubble burst and bought all the stock that he could lay hands on. The market rose and Baldwin cleared a fortune. Now he wanted to enjoy life and went to India to hunt big game, then to Japan. On his return, he found that Comstock was in bad condition and was on his way to his broker's when he met a friend.
Well, Lucky Baldwin, back from India and all points east. On your way to cut some more coupons?
Yep, and I'm certainly glad I sold most of my holdings in Comstock when I did. I wonder what happened to my Hale and Norcross stock. I own some feet of that mine, but left it with my broker to sell if it reached the purchase price of $800 a foot.
Well, haven't you heard about Hale and Norcross?
Huh?
It's suspended from the board. If you sold, your luck certainly failed you for once. Why, Hale and Norcross is the only thing that's showing any life. It's a bonanza, Lucky. Right now, they're paying $12,000 a foot.
I guess. Well, no use crying over spilt milk. I'll go in and see my broker now and learn all the details.
Well, goodbye, Lucky. I don't know if I need to wish you luck.
Luck. Everyone thinks I'm lucky. They forget all the work I put into this.
Why, hello, Mr. Baldwin. Well, this is a surprise, you walking in here after a year.
Yeah, and from all reports, I would have done better to stay here and look after my interests, Franklin. I want to buy something. Let me see my account. Oh, what did you get for Hale and Norcross?
Your balance is all right, but I didn't sell any Hale and Norcross for you.
What? But I left an order for you to sell it.
Oh, I got your order to sell, Mr. Baldwin. But you took your safety with you. When I got to the wharf, your ship had sailed for India. How much have you got? Worth $12,000 a foot.
By gad. Maybe they're right. Maybe I am lucky after all.
With the fortune he made from Hale and Norcross stock, Lucky looked for more investments and found them in a vast acreage nestling at the foot of the Sierra Madre Mountains. Here he built his famous Santa Anita Ranch. Here he located his stables, and here he became the West's first great real estate promoter. Lucky Baldwin loved the West almost as much as he loved horses. But his horses always came first, and the proudest day of his life was the day of the World's Fair Derby in Chicago. Baldwin's horse, Raydell Santa Anita, was at the post with the best horse flesh in the country. Lucky was at the rail with one of his jockeys, Cy McLean. Cy, what do you think about Kansas today?
And now, Mr. Baldwin, now the garrison's up on Senator Grady and Fred Cowell's up on Domino, and all the money in the East is on Domino's now.
All the more reason why the West should clean up. Cy, that red Maltese cross on the Santa Anita silks is going to lead the field. Now, you watch and see.
I hope so, sir. And Glenn will do his best to bring Ray Del Santa Anita in a winner.
Ray's been knocked to his knees at the start.
Yes, but he's up again.
Back in last position when they called me lucky.
Domino's out in front of town, pulling at his head. Looks like it's Domino's race, Mr. Baldwin.
No, by gad, we're not licked yet. Look, and Duren's taking Ray out of the center of the track. He's turning him loose.
Yes, but at the end of a mile, he'll never pick a 44.
Don't you think he won't? I know that horse.
Look at Ray. Look at that horse. Pass them all out.
Like they were tied to the rail. Ha ha! Come on, Ray! You big beauty! Come on there!
Ah, he's winning! He's pulling ahead of Domino. No other horse in the world ever had such a last quarter. He's going to win, sir. He's going to win the World Fair Derby. He's won! He's won, sir!
I knew he would, sir. That horse wouldn't fail me. When he gets back to California, I'm going to put him in the greenest pasture of Santa Anita Land.
Thank Above everything else, racing was Lucky's ruling passion, and he was greatly disappointed when he was unable to gain a license to operate a racetrack at Santa Anita. But at last, in 1907, he won permission by his endurance and courage, and in December had the satisfaction of opening his own track. He is with a few friends after the first day's races have been run.
Yes, sir. Today I realize the greatest ambition of my life, folks.
Yes, sir.
I'm almost 80, and during my life I've had plenty of trouble as well as plenty of success. I've been in all kinds of big business, but seeing my horses run at my own track today makes it all worthwhile.
But you've done so much more, Lucky. You're one of the real pioneers of the Far West. And you sure populated Southern California by selling tourists all that land.
Land? I gave them the land, Bob. Huh? What I sold them was the climate.
Oh.
Nothing, no place in the world like it.
Well, you can laugh if you want to. But someday California is going to be mighty grateful to you. Why, they ought to put up a monument for what you've done for the state, both financially and in giving folks the courage to leave their homes in the East and Middle West and start anew out here.
I don't want a monument, Bob. Whatever I've done, I did because I wanted to, or it happened to be the only thing to do at the time. My monument is already built. My racetrack. The greatest thing I've ever done. And by gad, I'm satisfied.
We thus pay homage to this man who was a pioneer by heritage, a trader by profession, the outstanding individualist of his generation in America, a man of optimism and courage who never admitted defeat. Elias J. Baldwin, Captain of Industry.